Welcome into Bertrand and Zolak, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beetle.
We're taking you up until 2 o'clock here on a Friday. We got all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. It is no Zoe, no Beetle, which means it's a night show takeover here during the daytime. Arkans?
What's up?
What's up? How we doing?
Good. Should I put my sunglasses on?
What's up, Jones? Turn it up, Jim.
It's a little different here during the daytime. But we'll be here again.
Yeah, there's people. And the lights are on.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like light. I don't like people. I don't like any of it. I enjoyed very much the darkness of the studio last night, or even the last couple of mornings that I was in. It's people in and out all day. I got to look at people. People are looking back. Got to say hi. Like I don't want to do any of that. So anyway, so we'll be taking you up until 2 o'clock with your thoughts. 617-779-0985. Where to start today, Arkan? Where to start? I do want to get to the Red Sox. What our expectations are for them? What a reasonable I think definition would be for a successful year or a lack thereof. I want to get to the Patriots as well. Greg Bedard had some interesting things to say about the Patriots. Tom Brady has shown up now with a tweet on top of all of the various pictures floating around, the body shaming, poor Tom Brady getting body shamed out there. I want to get to all of that. But let's start with Marcus Smart and the extension that he received from the Celtics, which I know has been discussed quite a bit. We talked about it last night.
Right.
And I'm well established on this. I don't even feel like I need to express my opinion on this. $13 million is much too much for, you know, a role player, for a guy who, according to the Celtics themselves, deflects basketballs and flops. That's pretty much all he does. And we can read from their press release coming up here in just a little bit. What occurred to me last night, and I think this is the best way I can possibly frame it, and I don't know that I've heard anyone else frame it this way. And if I have, you know, or if I've missed it, forgive me. But you are now paying Marcus Smart more to do less. And I think one of the main things that gets you into trouble in the NBA, especially in most leagues, is when you start overpaying for mediocre talent. You know, Smart has a role, and Smart had value when he was on a rookie deal, and maybe even on the qualifying offer this year. Certainly on the qualifying offer this year.
Definitely on that. That's what I wanted him on.
$6 million a year. There's some value there. Even I can acknowledge that as someone who is not a fan whatsoever of what Marcus Smart brings to the table. But what you start to get in trouble with is when you overpay for role players. And it tanks their value on the trade market. It can hamper you with the salary cap, the luxury tax, things like that. But I'm less concerned with the latter two. So now you're paying him more to do less. And I keep hearing this over and over and over again, RK. Well, he's a big part of their DNA. You want him out there in crunch time. He's not going to be out there in crunch time. Unless I'm missing something, Marcus Smart is at best your sixth man. He probably should be more your seventh or eighth man. In the game, your second or third guy off the bench. Okay, so he's already not starting for you, but you could explain that away if you were a Marcus Smart defender, and often people did. Brad Stevens would. Oh, it's not who starts, it's who finishes.
Sure,
and that's what McCone would know this. That's what the coaches tell you in high school, or in McCone's case in college. Oh yeah, that's what they tell the guys on the bench to make them feel better. That's not who starts the game, it's who finishes. So everybody who's on the bench, you know, your coach can soften the blow a little bit. Yeah. It doesn't matter who starts, even though everybody wants to start. So he already doesn't start for you, okay? At least before he finished. At least before he was out there in crunch time. And I think a lot of times he was hurting you as much as he was helping you, but whatever. He was making his quote-unquote winning plays, and he was out there when the game mattered the most. Who's your starting five now, Arkan?
Starting five is Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and Horford.
Okay.
That's who it is.
Who's your closing five?
Same.
It should be the same.
Yeah.
So Marcus Smart used to be out there in crunch time. Now he's not going to be out there in crunch time. And oh, by the way, if he is, then I think you're going to have even bigger problems. Who are you taking off the floor? Are you sitting down Kyrie?
No.
For Marcus Smart? How about Jaylen Brown?
Definitely not.
Jason Tatum?
Mm-mm.
Gordon Hayward? Like, who who are we sitting down in crunch time? Who's coming off the floor? And again, if they are, I'd love to be Brad Stevens. I'd love to put myself in his shoes and have to explain to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving or whomever that, hey, we know we pay you a lot of money. We know we think highly of you, but we're going to sit you down for the chucker. At the end of the game, we're going to put in Marcus Smart because he flops around and he deflects passes. Try explaining that to any one of those guys who all have all-star potential. Three of them are already all-stars.
Yeah.
The other two have all-star potential, and that's low for Jason Tatum. So good luck sitting any of those guys down in crunch time. I think that's the best way to frame it, Arcand. They're paying Marcus Smart more to do less, and just on what planet is that good value? On what planet is that a smart deal?
Not on this one. I could not believe that, A, Happy Walter was able to get Danny Ainge into a meeting. I feel like this was all, you know, way a foregone conclusion that it was either going to be the qualifying offer or some other team, some idiot team like the Sacramento Kings, was going to come over the top with a big contract in a million years. I mean, listen, you know, I'm hearing a lot of Celtics fans saying, well, Danny clearly values Marcus Smart. This is why he's doing that. He really values him. He wants him around. He's part of the foundation of this team. Well, then why did it take him 3 weeks? Why did it take him 3 weeks to sit down with Walter and hammer out this deal? Why didn't he do it, you know, during the season? Why didn't he do it on July 1st when, you know, free agency started and LeBron was signing and all these other things were happening? He let him kind of twist in the wind for a while. And he also kind of demonstrated to him, hey, Marcus, there's no market for you. No one wants you. No one's offering you anything. I don't have to match any contracts. $6 million qualifying offer, and then let's roll the dice next offseason. I was convinced that was what was going to happen. And instead, Danny comes out of nowhere with a negotiation against nobody and ends up paying substantially more money than I think Marcus Smart's worth.
I don't get it. And again, to the people who are very pro-Marcus Smart, is he going to be out there when the games matter? To the winning plays crew, you know, to both broadcast teams, you know, Grandy, Gorman, Heinsohn, Max, to like the winning plays crew, the Celtics media out there, most of the fans. Like, do you think Marcus Smart's going to play when the game's on the line? He better not. If Marcus Smart is out there in the final 2 minutes, then something's gone massively wrong for this team. He should not play, barring injury and or foul trouble. He should not play over Kyrie, Jaylen, Tatum, Hayward, Horford. Who would argue with that? Who would argue with that? So he's not out there when the game matters anymore. And that always used to be the big thing you could argue with Marcus.
Yeah.
Well, when the game's on the line, he's out there making plays. Not anymore. At least I hope not. And again, imagine Brad Stevens having to sit down with Kyrie. Kyrie. Hey, we know that you're the face of the franchise, and we really want you here long term. But guess what? In crunch time, we're going to swap you out, offense, defense, like we did with Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
that's...
Like, imagine how that would go over. Like, Kyrie already doesn't hate Boston enough and doesn't already want to leave Boston enough. Now you're sending him in crunch time for Marcus freaking Smart. You might as well buy him a plane ticket down to New York to sign with the Knicks. Or Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Hey, guys, yeah, you're rising superstars in this league, but you know what? We got to get the bulldog Marcus Smart to come in and chuck up a bunch of threes that are going to brick off the backboard, shatter the backboard. So why don't you have a seat while Marcus Smart gets into the game? Or teacher's pet, Gordon Hayward. Hey, Gordon, I know I recruited you as a tennis player and brought you into Butler and brought you back here with the Celtics. And, you know, we really, really think highly of your game. But guess what? Marcus Smart's going to come in and flop around a little bit, maybe dive on a loose ball and false hustle his way all over the floor and get the crowd really into it. Not actually do anything on the floor, but, you know, jump around and make a big song and dance and get everybody to cheer and thump their chest and talk about his hustle, right? So have a couple of seats at the end of games, Gordon Hayward. That's not going to go over. That doesn't work.
No.
And again, if that is their plan, then they're dumber than I think. He's not going to be out there in crunch time. He's not going to be out there when the games matter. I thought that was the whole point of Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Brad Stevens will, I think, litigate this the way that you're supposed to and carve out the minutes that everyone's supposed to have. I was thinking about this because we talked about it last night, and I was thinking sort of this morning about scenarios where it would make sense for Marcus Smart to be out there at the end of a game. If they're protecting a lead, you know, and they don't need to, they're, you know, they have like a 10-point lead with like 5 minutes left in the game. You throw Marcus Smart out there for defense, fine. There's situations in a close game where...
But even so, like Brown and Hayward kind of fancy themselves as two-way play, and they are two-way players.
Sure.
You know, like those are guys who aren't going to want to come out. Those are guys who want the challenge of the top wings on the other team. And I know Smart is more, or can guard point guards. If you listen to the right people, he can guard centers. He could guard centers. He could. You see him against Millsap? You see him against Porzingis for like a 2-minute stretch? Did you see that? He could do it. So
he guarded Giannis. He guarded Ben Simmons. I mean, that's not that overblown, I don't think.
I think that's what you have Hayward and Brown to do. Those longer players, Giannis and Simmons, I think Hayward and Brown are going to want those assignments. You know, Brown got more all defensive team votes than he did. Hayward's a good two-way player. Those guys aren't going to want to come off the floor. So again, you're up 10 with 5 minutes to go. You think those guys want to sit?
No,
I don't.
You take Tatum out. Give Kyrie a break. In those particular instances, if it's a close game.
Tatum is the future of this franchise. Sure. Now we're sitting him in the final 5 minutes of games.
If you have a 10-point lead, yeah.
Again, how's that go over with him? How's it go over with Kyrie? Oh, yeah, Kyrie, hey, we really want you here long term. If he's sitting in the final 5 minutes of games, you might as well, again, buy his plane ticket to the New York Knicks. Have fun never playing here again, Kyrie. That's not the guy you want to alienate.
It's true you don't, but it's not the entire 5 minutes. I mean, you know how the end of a basketball game goes. There's fouls. People sub in and out while someone's shooting a free throw. You get the defensive guys out there. You get the rebounders out there. You sub them in and out. You know how it is. I mean, you know what the end of a basketball game is like. I feel like that's more or less what we're going to see with Smart and crunch time. He'll come in for a defensive assignment. They'll pull him out when it's at the free throw line on the other side. It's going to be that sort of situation, I think. I'm not that worried about it. I do think, though, the money. I mean, I can't get past the money. How did you get from $6 million to 13?
Oh, well,
what did Happy Walter say to Danny Ainge?
It's a great question. I mean, do we even need to debate that he's overpaid? He's overpaid.
Of course he is.
Like, I mean, please. I feel like I don't even need to debate that one. He's overpaid. Here's an easy one. Who's a better player, him or Avery Bradley?
Avery Bradley.
Not even close. Avery Bradley's actually made an all-defensive team. Avery Bradley actually can shoot, unlike Marcus Smart. So just who's better and who makes more? Marcus Smart's overpaid. Like, that one's not even worth debating. He's overpaid. Here's the question again. Why are you paying him more to do less? And I think the do less aspect, his actual role, hasn't been discussed a whole lot. Oh, he'll be out there in crunch time. He'll be out there when it matters. Winning plays, Jones, winning plays. He better not be out there in crunch time. He better not be out there when winning plays are made, because that means you're sitting one of your starting five. And good luck telling him to sit down in crunch time. Mm. Again, tell it to Kyrie. He'll leave you in the offseason if he isn't already leaving. Tell it to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, you know, your future studs in this franchise, or teacher's pet Gordon Hayward. Good luck explaining that to any of those guys. I do not envy Brad Stevens if that's the plan, to play Marcus Smart over any one of the starting five in the final couple minutes of a game. Winning time, crunch time. Good luck to him. 617-779-0985. We are off and running with a few thoughts here on Marcus Smart on a Friday. It is Adam Jones and Christian Arcan in for Zoe and Beadle. When we come back, the Celtics attempt to quantify the importance of Marcus Smart, and it is laughable. It is laughable what they come up with. We'll get to that next.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beadle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaren Grant, inbound to Jimmy Butler against Marcus Smart. 5 seconds to go. Chicago down by one. The all-star Butler against Marcus Smart. Steps to his right. Spin. Shot in the air. No good. Celtics win it.
No. Foul. Foul on the play. It looked like Marcus hit him on the elbow with that jump shot when it went up.
Caldwell Pope, second free throw. That's going to bounce out. Rebound Smart. 5 seconds to go. Smart races into the front court. Smart, step back. He's going to take a three. It bounces out, and the Lakers win the ball game. Marcus Smart races it up the floor. He's had a good night shooting the basketball and had a pretty good look. But obviously the Celtics did not need a three after the missed free throws. LeBron, bounce pass J.R. Smith. Little fancy no-look into the corner for a bad missed three by George Hill. Loose ball picked off the floor by Smart. Throws it away under the basket for an easy two for George Hill. He was falling out of bounds. He saved it under his own basket. Cardinal rule, don't do that.
So there you go. There's your $13 million man, Marcus Smart. Those were some of my favorite market highlights, Christian. And it's Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, and for Zoe and Beadle. What was in there? It was a thing of beauty. It was
three against the Lakers.
Yeah, right. When he rushed up the court, yep. Chucked the three against the Lakers. He, of course, missed.
They were only down one.
And then after the game, he punched out a picture frame and he was sidelined right for a month. That was really his Mona Lisa. Some of his best work, I feel
his
like.
His Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, exactly. I also enjoyed the call of when the Celtics were going to beat the Bulls, except, you know, Marcus Smart, that cheap little foul on Butler, hit him on the elbow and was rightly called for a foul. A former co-host of mine vehemently disagreed with that.
Disagree that he shouldn't have fouled him?
No, disagree that it was a foul.
Oh.
It was quite a debate. Quite a heated debate.
Did he see the replay?
Yeah, no, I think he did.
He did?
Yeah, I just think it was, you know, you can't call it in that spot, things along those lines.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can't call a foul.
No, well, not a ticky-tack little foul like that. You can't call it.
Got him pretty good, I thought. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch again.
Then, you know, against the Cavaliers, you know, he's throwing basketballs to the wrong team under his own basket, as Grandy said there. You know, hey, these are things that you're taught in CYO rec league basketball not to do. Don't throw the ball in under your own basket and give the other team a free layup. But Marcus Smart apparently hasn't learned that. So, again, those are your winning plays that you're paying $13 million a year for. But that's not all. You're paying $13 million a year for it. I got to credit Jeremy Conley for digging this up. I did not pour through the press release from the Celtics yesterday, Arkin. But you know what they do in these press releases, right? Like they give really writers a whole bunch of content to just put right into their story the next day. So
right.
if you ever want to play the game of like what writers just mail it in, Or what writers really just are very pro team, line up a press release one day with like their recap of a signing or a transaction or something like that.
Yeah.
Where do you get your numbers? How do you kind of fill out your column like that? Then you'll find a real writer who's pro team and or just mailing it in.
Yeah.
Okay, one or the other.
Red Sox, they send out a lot of those. There's like a ton of press releases from the Red Sox like every day. Like there's one on Benintendi today.
I was going to say.
Yeah, and it's all right there. Everything you need to write is right there in the press release.
There's your story. You don't even need to write a story if you don't want to. So yeah, someday if you ever want to have fun with that, line those two up. Okay, and you'll see who's who in the media real quick. But how about this? I haven't seen this stat pop up in any stories yet, so I guess no one fell for this one. No one took this one hook, line, and sinker. But after you talk up, hey, Marcus Smart is signed to a multi-year extension, you know, terms of the deal were not disclosed, whatever you normally put in a press release, and they go through his normal line, which, of course, doesn't tell the whole... The Marcus Smart people, Arkham, will tell you that doesn't tell the whole story on Marcus Smart. You can't possibly get the whole picture of Marcus Smart by his points and his rebounds and his assists. Certainly not his shooting percentages. All those things are very unsatisfactory. All of those things are bad. Those don't tell the story with Marcus Smart. You see, he's actually really good, even though no one in the league wanted him. He's actually really good. His traditional stats don't tell the story. So what the Celtics had to do, Arkan, in their press release, was dig up a little bit more on Marcus Smart. And let's just say they dug deep. They dug really deep. Like, I'm talking Alex Guerrero in Tom Brady's hammies deep. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Deep. Marcus Smart, also, because his 9.8 points per game or whatever weren't enough to really sway on the
10.2, Jones? 10.2?
Oh, excuse me, 10.2.
Come on.
My mistake. Didn't
Second
wanna,
highest of his career.
I didn't want to shortchange him out of those 0.4.
Down from 10.6 last year.
Smart also, again, like it was so impressive, the line above it. He also ranked in the top 25 in defensive deflections per game.
What's in your face!
What's an offensive deflection?
Good question.
Yeah, turnovers. He probably ranked high in those.
So when you go up for a rebound and it bounces off your hand and goes out of bounds?
Smart also ranked in the top 25 in defensive deflections per game and in the top 10 in charges drawn per game for any player who appeared in half their team's games in 2017-2018.
I didn't even know there was that part at the end.
No, you need the qualifier at the end, of course. So again, he was top 25, Christian, in defensive deflections, and he was top 10 in flops. I mean, charges taken per game. Wow. Actually, when you take a step back and you really look at the numbers, that is worth $13 million a year, isn't it? He's flopping all over the floor, and he's deflecting balls out of bounds. The team still keeps the basketball, but he's deflecting it out of bounds. That's a worthwhile stat. That's a worthwhile player. Give him $13 million a year. So Jeremy Conley, again, after picking that out of the press release, actually forwarded us the numbers. You know how meaningless those numbers are, Christian?
I can't even imagine.
They're completely and totally meaningless. Completely and totally. You know who he's tied with for defensive deflections per game?
I do, just because we talked about it last night, but go ahead.
2.9 per game with noted defensive specialist James Harden.
Yeah.
James Harden, only one of the butts of every joke for defense in the NBA. So the stat the Celtics are propping up Marcus Smart with, deflections per game.
Top 25.
He's tied with James Harden of the Houston Rockets, 2.9.
You want a good laugh? Go on YouTube and look up a James Harden defense mix. It's
they're great.
Hilarious.
No, and Harden, I mean, Smart's obviously a better defensive player than Harden. That's not my point.
I would say he is, yes.
It's just these stupid stats they gave us in the press release to try to quantify Marcus Smart.
They should have taken that sentence right out. I mean, there was no need for that.
I haven't gotten to the charges yet, though.
Oh, true. That's right.
So hang on. So he drew, let's see, he was top 10 in the league in charges drawn per game. That's 0.24. That's an impressive. That's one charge every four games, Arcan.
Mm-hmm.
At the rate he flops, that's pretty impressive. You know who he's tied with? Dennis Schroeder, formerly of the Atlanta Hawks. But yesterday he was actually dealt to Oklahoma City. They had trouble giving him away because of his bad contract.
Right.
Which, by the way, Marcus Smart is right in that territory now.
They could only do it if they traded for Carmelo Anthony and then immediately waived him. That's how they could get rid of Dennis Schroeder.
So a team that had to give away Dennis Schroeder. So he's tied with a guy that got given away yesterday in flops. I mean, charges taken per game. And he's tied with one of the worst defensive players in deflections per game. So you're telling me those stats are completely and utterly meaningless, and those are the best you could find to prop up Marcus Smart? Again, there's no way to you can't quantify him, Jones. Yeah, I can. I can quantify him very easily. Look at the shooting percentage, okay? Look at how awful he is offensively. I can quantify him pretty easily, and I acknowledge he's a good defensive player. Good, not elite, not great, good. He's a net negative player for this team, and you're paying him $13 million a year now to sit in crunch time. Like, what are we doing here?
No idea. And I don't understand what the press release was about. If you wanted to tout his defense, there's ways to do it. There's defensive rating. There's defensive win shares, both of which Marcus Smart is like top six
The
NBA.
You like your win shares.
I do like my defensive win share. I don't understand what they are, but I do like them because they make my point for me. So
yes.
I think that if you look at that, it's Rudy Gobert, Covington, Roberson, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Smart. That's five right there. Five of the best defensive players in the league, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
It's strange.
That's what he should have put in there.
Strange that, I mean, I have to double check on that
deflections
list.
Deflections and
it's
charges.
Strange that all
on.
Those guys make all defensive teams, and Marcus Smart somehow doesn't.
I think that's strange too. I think Smart should have been an all defensive player this year. I'm shocked that he wasn't.
How that works? I'm not all that surprised.
I am.
Well, maybe I should be though. I hadn't seen those deflection or charges numbers. Once I saw those, I said, maybe I've underrated him.
Got to do your homework there.
Boy, he's been deflecting more passes than I realized. And we all know how big of a stat that is at the end of the day. Boy, championships are won on deflections. They teach you that day one of youth league basketball. And don't even get me started on charges, a.k.a. flops. 617-779-0985. $13 million a year for a guy who deflects passes out of bounds and flops all over the floor. Pretty good deal, I'd say, for Danny Ainge. We got a lot of you waiting patiently. We'll get to all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. It is Jones and Arcan in for Zoe and Beetle. And we'll get to you right after the update from Tim McCone.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Red Sox finally back from the All-Star break and back in action tonight as they visit the Detroit Tigers. David Price gets the start for Boston. Detroit going to counter with Matthew Boyd. First pitch is at 7:10. Jerry Krasnick reporting that now that the Orioles have traded Manny Machado, they are focused on dealing Zach Britton. Cubs, Giants, Astros, Phillies, Yankees, and Red Sox are all reportedly in the mix. Round two of the Open is underway in Scotland. Zach Johnson, Kevin Kisner atop the leaderboard at 6 under. In fact, Kevin Kisner just took the lead. He is now at 7 under. Johnson finishing the day at 4 under. Rory McIlroy 3 shots back. Tiger Woods is even for the tournament and for the day so far through 16. NBA minor trade this morning. Woj reporting that the Suns are sending Jared Dudley in a 2021 second round pick to the Nets for Darrell Arthur. Big trade yesterday with the Thunder sending Carmelo Anthony to the Hawks along with a protected first round pick for Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala. Anthony's going to be waived by Atlanta. The Rockets are reportedly the favorites while Miami is also under consideration. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by Core Golf and Natick. Buy a bucket after 5 p.m. Monday to Friday to get in on the $1 million shootout going on now. For complete details, visit Core Golf in Natick. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, it is Adam Jones and Christian Arcan in for Zoe and Beetle as we take you up until 2 o'clock here on a Friday. Again, just resetting where we began the show with Marcus Smart's extension. Like, I don't even think it's worth debating, Arcan, that he's overpaid. He's overpaid.
Sure.
Like, that's not hard to figure out.
I like Smart, and I thought that all along. Yeah.
I don't, but we happen to agree on this. Like, he's just, like, $13 million a year is just, it's too much. It's not backbreaking by any means. And I'm not all that concerned, really, about the luxury tax or the repeater tax or anything like that. That doesn't concern me today. You know, if we get 2 or 3 years down the line and the Celtics can't get a player that we all want them to get because of it, then we'll revisit this. But that's not what bothers me today. What happens is when you overpay role players, their value tanks. Like, Marcus Smart did have some value in a trade when he was on a rookie deal, and he'd have it on a qualifying offer too. Now, the one thing you hear time and time again, and if this happens, Arcand, then I'll give Danny Ainge the proper credit, but it needs to happen, is that Marcus Smart's money is a placeholder for a deal for, let's say, Anthony Davis. Kevin Pelton wrote about this yesterday for the Worldwide Leader. He said that while Kawhi Leonard is now presumably off the table, I think he means for a deadline deal in February, Boston has long been rumored to have eyes for Anthony Davis should he ever become available in a trade ahead of his potential 2020 foray into unrestricted free agency. In that case, having Smart's salary would make it easy to build a package that doesn't include any of the Celtics' current all-stars. I just feel like there has to be a better way to do that. Like, couldn't you have gotten through this whole year and then re-signed Smart in the offseason? No one else wanted him.
That's so that's exactly what I thought Ainge was going to do.
Right?
$6 million on the qualifying offer. There's no market right now. What's Smart going to do this year that's going to suddenly create a market for him next offseason? I just didn't see that really happening. And maybe it alienated him. Maybe he decides, I don't want to come back here, I got disrespected. Then you replace him.
So look, I say it tanks his value. If it's money, if it's just sheer money, Theo Ratliff had value in getting Kevin Garnett, right? So like, sometimes big money ends up, Rafe LaFrance had value.
Expiring contracts used to be worth a lot more.
Yeah. And just to be a leveling out when it comes to the money in this trade. If that happens with Marcus Smart, I will retroactively say, oh, okay, I got it. I get it now. Danny Ainge clearly overpaid, and it wasn't overpay because he wanted to put Marcus Smart in a deal, and they had nobody on the entire team in between Jason Tatum's six and change and Kyrie Irving's $20 million per year. So you needed a mid-level salary. If that ends up happening, then great. Brilliant job. Danny Ainge does it again. In the meantime, we're left scratching our heads. And oh, by the way, if he rolls him into a deal just as a contract for Anthony Davis, then by definition, that's an overpay. But my fear with Marcus Smart is you tank his value. $13 million a year for a guy who flops all over the floor and gets some deflections and is your sixth, seventh, or eighth man, that's too much. He had a lot more value, I think, in a deal on his rookie deal. And now you're paying him $13 million a year. So it better be for a superstar. And it better be to level out some of that money, or else I don't get it.
Draymond Green's making $18 million this year. Okay? Just for reference, because I know people say, oh, well, he can be like the Draymond Green of this team. Draymond Green's an all-star. Okay? I mean, like, Draymond Green,
no, I mean,
I don't think he's a great offensive player.
Draymond Green's actually good, is what I would say to
those
people.
And he's, you know, he's the same, a similar player to Marcus Smart.
Draymond Green, by the way, is not just an all-star. Draymond Green is all NBA. Draymond Green's been a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, good luck to Marcus Smart ever doing any of those things. He might make an all-defensive team. I don't think he's ever going to be defensive player of the year. But he's a two-time all-NBA player, three-time all-star. He's obviously won the titles, four-time all-defense, defensive player of the year. Like, just... he's actually good, unlike Marcus Smart. He matches his reputation, unlike Marcus Smart, which is way, way, way overinflated in this city.
Agreed. It really is. And, you know, a guy like P.J. Tucker, even out in Houston, making $7, $8 million, that's what Marcus Smart's worth. That's what he's worth. I mean, I'm sorry, that's what it is. And if he didn't want to go through that and he didn't want to sign an extension even last October, what would they offer him, $11 million a year?
Ish, yeah.
Which even that I thought was a little high. Then, you know, maybe you're too far apart. Danny somehow changed his mind.
So
he went from no interest to, you know, here, take a look at the market, see what you get. We'll take any offers and we'll decide to match him or not match him, to no offers coming in and $13 million for 4 years. I can't imagine how you got from point A to point B there.
And one thing I keep hearing, well, he's going to be out there when the game matters, Jones. Winning time, winning plays. No, he isn't. Your starting five is Kyrie, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, Horford. That's your starting five. That also should be your closing five, in my opinion. Perhaps you disagree out there. Mm. So who is Smart playing over out of that group in winning time, in crunch time? And if he is playing over those guys, I think something's gone wrong. I'd disagree with it. And good luck telling Kyrie or anyone else to sit down in crunch time for Marcus freaking Smart. Good luck with that. 617-779-0985. A lot of you waiting patiently. Let's start it off with Anthony in Hingham. I almost hung up on him, Arcand. Anthony, Anthony in Hingham, what do you got today, sir?
Jones, why do you got to go so far the other way all the time? I mean, I don't agree with the deal either, but they win the situation and then they pay him. I don't get that, but this is a good problem to have. Too many good players who can get on the floor. And
well, right. If it was too many good players, I'd agree with you.
He's not going to end the game, but he's going to start the fourth quarter when, you know, Kyrie or somebody needs to blow. He's going to, you know, get out there.
Right. Yeah, he's a good backup. No one's saying he's not a good backup.
Good backup is fair. Sure. But Anthony, what I keep hearing is that, well, you know, his value is going to be in those biggest moments. He's not going to be out there in those biggest. That's a reason that people justify overpaying for him, because he's going to be out there in the biggest moments of the game. No, he isn't.
Depending on who else is on the floor, who's he playing against? Is there someone on the floor that they can hide him with? You know what I mean? Or he can kind of like match up with or whatever.
Okay, but then that gets into bruised egos, and I think that's a real thing Brad Stevens has to deal with on this team this year. I already thought he had to deal with it before you overpaid for Marcus Smart. I already thought he had to deal with it. Like, all those five guys are going to play. That's not the issue. People keep confusing the issue. Not everybody's going to be the number one option. Not everybody's going to get their shots. Like, somebody's going to have to take a bad back seat. And if you think Gordon Hayward's going to happily take a back seat to Tatum or Brown, I'll tell you, maybe you're right, but I want to see it. Or Tatum and Brown, who got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, got to 6 minutes away from an NBA Finals without Gordon Hayward playing more than a five-minute stretch in game one. Those guys have to take a back seat to the teacher's pet. Let's see how that goes over with Brown and Tatum. Maybe it'll go over fine.
Sure.
Same thing with Marcus Smart. Okay, fine. On paper, does that make sense? There's a point guard killing Kyrie on the other side of the floor, right? Take your pick, whoever it is. You know, Kyle Lowry from Toronto, mm-hmm. or Ben Simmons or whatever. Someone's killing Kyrie on the other side of the floor. Kyrie probably wouldn't be matched up against Simmons. Stick with Lowry.
All right.
He's killing you on the other side of the floor. Does it make sense on paper to put Marcus Smart out there? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Good luck telling Kyrie to sit down in crunch time, you know, like Brad used to do with Isaiah Thomas. Maybe Kyrie will buy in. Or maybe Kyrie already has one foot out the door, says, well, screw this. I don't even play an important time. Then I'll see you in a New York Knicks jersey, and I'll play you twice a year, five times a year, however many times they play in the division.
Yeah, and that would be unfortunate if that happens, but that's not Brad Stevens' job to make Kyrie Irving happy. It's his job to win games, and I think that if that's
you're
putting there.
You're managing egos.
Fine, but if he's that butthurt by being taken out of a game because he's getting killed by Kyle Lowry, then, you know, what are you doing here? What's this all about? Or is it all about Kyrie Irving? Are we trying to win games for the whole team in the city, in the franchise? I mean, I understand that there's bruised egos here, but I feel like Brad Stevens' teams so far, and I know it's not a huge sample size here, you haven't seen a lot of that. You haven't seen a lot of stuff bubble up and blow up, and you haven't seen a lot of guys sort of throwing their weight around and saying, I need the ball and I need this, and, you know, any conflicts that you did see. Stevens does a good job of keeping them in-house. But more than that, you know, Marcus Smart, like, when you think about what he did in the playoffs last year when he came back from his injury, he was doing all that and asked to do all those things because Kyrie wasn't there. I mean, that's the reason why he played so much. That's the reason why he shot so much. All of that was a product of Kyrie not being around. So you're right. I mean, there in every possible way, you're paying him more to do less. If Kyrie's healthy this year and he plays the whole year, Marcus Smart's not going to be asked to do nearly the amount of things he did last year.
And look, maybe injuries clean it up. You know, Kyrie's not exactly healthy. He's never been healthy. Mm-hmm. Go back to college. You know, he's never been healthy. So maybe some of that gets solved. You know, maybe there's still a trade in the works that we don't know about, that we aren't privy to, right? So maybe these things get solved somehow, some way. But I think you're paying Marcus Smart more to do less. He's not going to be out there in crunch time. And now his salary just spiked. So on what planet is that good business? Paying someone more to do less. On what planet is that a smart contract? 617-779-0985. A lot of you waiting patiently. We will get to you. And I'd like to weigh in on the hierarchy in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics should still be the favorite. Are they a heavy favorite? Are they a clear-cut favorite? How tight have things gotten to the top of the Eastern Conference now that Toronto has Kawhi Leonard? We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
We're coming up on 11 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Zoe and Beetle. Night show takeover, Jones and Arcan. Have you had to do the quick turnaround before, Arcan?
No, not like this.
First time you've had to do it?
Yeah, this is the first one. Wasn't so bad.
That's not bad.
I thought it'd be worse.
This isn't bad.
Yeah. If it was to do the morning show, that'd be another thing.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I've only had to do that once. That's a tough one.
That shouldn't be legal. It shouldn't make you do that.
Midnight to 6 a.m. Not great.
You just might as well sleep here.
Yeah, but it gets me out early. I never want to say no to anything like that, because then I'm like, oh, right, I'm out. I really don't like enjoying the daylight all that much, but at least I'm not working until, you know, midnight on a Friday night or something like
right.
that. It's like, oh, quick turnaround? Sure. Off at 10? Or off at, 2?
Yeah.
Great.
We have actual windows in the studio, and I noticed that when the sunlight hit you, there was a sizzle, and I thought
yeah,
that was
I usually try to shut those things. What are those doing open in this studio? I appreciate that we have windows in here so that I can at least tell if we have any weather outside.
Mm.
You know, not to go full Mike Trout on you right now and explain the weather to everyone, but, you know, like I like to look out there and be like, oh, it's raining. Oh, it's a little bit of snow. Wow, it's sunny out there. Like, it's just kind of nice to know what is happening out there, because things really evolve over the course of a night show in particular. So that's nice. But yeah, I don't need too much daylight. Yeah, it's not like I want to go enjoy my day at 2 o'clock.
Whoa.
Yeah, hey. Let's not get carried away. I'm just out earlier, which is nice. 617-779-0985. We can get to Kawhi in a moment. Let's knock out a few more of these phone calls here. How's about Kyle in Boston? Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, awesome rain cloud to start the show.
Thank you.
Mark. But you say he's overpaid, but in reality, I think he is just the best insurance policy, arguably, in the NBA, because you got two guys coming off of surgeries. You got Kyrie up next year. You got, you know, somebody could offer Terry Rozier an exorbitant amount of money in restricted free agency. And this way, it's kind of like, you know, Danny just covered all his bets. Like, if Kyrie leaves and Terry Rozier gets offered a ton of money, at least we still have Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I think you just hit on the player that I think is actually the better insurance policy. That's Rozier.
Right.
But again, that could be hard to fully answer until we know what Rozier gets. Because if I'm Terry Rozier, I'm not taking a penny less than Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you're talking about insurance policies, like Marcus Smart didn't smash his hand against the picture frame last year.
Well, that's a good point,
like, that's
too.
What your insurance policy is doing? That's not a great insurance policy.
No, I have a very safe, very, very, what's the right word I'm looking for? A very safe, very risk-averse policy here.
Reliable.
It's Marcus Smart. He happens to punch out picture frames and tear up his hand and have to miss a month. But yes. No, it's very, very risk-averse.
It's odd to me to hear the biggest wild card in the NBA, perhaps, because an insurance policy for anything, but okay, sure.
Point.
Let's go with that.
Strong insurance policy, very safe insurance policy, exceptionally reliable and risk averse. Marcus Smart is an insurance policy. We'll get back to your phone call. 617-779-0985. Arkham, what do you think? The Raptors got. Let's assume Kawhi's engaged, which I understand is a big assumption,
right?
But I do buy that. I think he's going to be a good soldier in Toronto because he has to be. He can't miss two straight years and then hit free agency and get a payday. Like,
well, then
he
shouldn't have said that.
What said what?
Put it out there, or someone from his camp putting it out there that he has no interest in playing
in
Toronto.
They're already backtracking. Like, now what's come out is that, oh no, he's going to be a good soldier, he's going to play there and whatever. So let's just assume,
okay,
for the purposes of this argument, and if you question it, that's fine. I think a lot of people question it. I personally don't. I think he's going to be a good soldier there and engage in Toronto. But let's just
good Mountie.
If you don't believe that, he's going to be a good Mountie. Part of the Royal Mounted Canadian Police. If he is engaged and if he is a good soldier there, suspend your disbelief and play along. What's Toronto's ceiling? How close are they to the Celtics if you get an engaged, good soldier, good Mountie Kawhi?
Pretty close. Not too far back, I don't think. I think that leapfrogs them over the Sixers. I know that they were the number one seed last year, but I think that was pretty fake for the most part. I think, you know, a starting five of Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, and Valanciunas. That's a very good starting five. And they got some decent bench players, too. Van Fleet sort of made a leap last year and a couple other guys. I definitely think that they're still second behind the Celtics, but it's a lot closer than it was. I think that gap got much, much closer. And I think that if there was a series there, you know, that's a tough matchup. Any team with Kawhi Leonard on, it's a tough matchup. And you throw him into a heavy contested race there for the top of the Eastern Conference, then you could see some real fireworks, I think. This is going to be interesting.
So, if Kawhi's engaged and it's an Eastern Conference final, Celtics in Toronto, he's the best player on the floor.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He probably is.
I mean,
I like Kyrie. Kawhi's a better player.
Kyrie's right next to him, though.
He's close.
Yeah.
Kawhi's better. You know, just like Kyrie was close to Giannis last year.
Giannis was the best player on the floor in that series, and how'd that go?
Well, right, but the Bucks literally have nothing else. You just listed everything else that Toronto has. Mm. So maybe that's too harsh. Middleton's a good player.
Yeah, Middleton can play.
So they have Middleton, and that's it. I still think, and I know you felt this way before, if the Celtics don't advance to an Eastern Conference final, they still choked this year. Like, it's like they are still the clear-cut best team in the East. If they don't get to the NBA Finals, it's a failure. Do you still feel that way if Toronto gets an engaged Kawhi?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, I do.
I don't. Nice try, Celtics fans. I don't change my opinion on that. Like, good try. Oh, Toronto's good now. We can lower the expectations. The Celtics still need to get to the NBA Finals, okay? They still have to get there. If they don't, it's a choke. You agree with that, McCone?
I love the trade for Toronto.
Me too, actually.
And I think it's an absolutely major disappointment for the Celtics if they didn't advance past the Raptors.
Okay, disappointment. You think it's a failure?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. I do. You need to be there. And I'm with you, by the way. I really
both
like,
rosters healthy. I mean, everybody playing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Not,
I mean,
you know, not
obviously,
like last year,
if Kyrie and Hayward are out again, well, then that changes things. You know, then it's not a choke if the Celtics don't beat him. Celtics could still beat him.
I'm trying to preemptively callers come in. Well, last year they didn't have this, and they made it
course.
That far.
Like, you know, if the Celtics starting five gets hurt and Marcus Smart has to be one of their best players out there, well, then they're going to get smoked. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I understand that, but if both teams are playing well and relatively healthy, the Celtics should beat them. And I'm with you. I think Toronto won that deal. Pretty clearly. And I know there's risk there. Kawhi could walk in a year and then the Spurs have two more years of DeRozan. But what I would say to that is Toronto is going nowhere with DeRozan. You were going nowhere. So it'll kickstart your rebuild a little faster. Maybe they can bring a free agent there. No one's ever signed there, but maybe they could bring a free agent there. I don't even think the years of control is that much of a regrettable thing. Okay, fine. So San Antonio has two more years of DeRozan. You were going nowhere with DeRozan and Lowry. Mm. So you got rid of him. You brought in Kawhi. They didn't give up much beyond DeRozan. That first-round pick is nothing. It's going to be bottom 10 in the first round, or it's going to be two second-round picks. They gave up Pirtle, Jakob Pirtle, instead of Ananobi or who was the other player that was rumored to be in the deal? One of their other young players, Siakam. So held on to their better young players. Pirtle's in the deal. I think it's a great deal for Toronto. And I think they got better. Celtics still need to win the East. It's a failure if the Celtics still don't win the East. And that has not changed. Nice try, Celtics fans. Nice try. 617-779-0985. Lottie waiting patiently. We'll get to you right after Hub Headlines from Tim McCone.